The Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right here, right now. Good morning. I'm your host, Corey Lane. It's just gone 10 o'clock in Barbados and across Eastern Caribbean for the 29th day of June 2018. In the chair as producer and technical operator, we have Dennis Johnson. And remember, we go until 1 p.m. this afternoon. What's on your mind? That's what Brass Tacks is here for, to listen to you, the callers, on issues of community and national interests. You can give us a call at 434-1790 or send a short WhatsApp to 266-4862. That is 266-IVOB. We want to hear from you. What are your concerns? Now, I haven't been in the chair since the mini budget, so there are lots I would like to share, and hopefully I can get to share them during the program. But as I like to remind you, the program is a calling program for you, the callers, to call and share your views. Now, being missing for a while, you know how it is in this business. Once you're missing for a day or more, you gotta pick. So rumors of my promotions have been greatly exaggerated. I'm still here with Down to Brass Tacks. Interesting enough, because we were touted as the pro-opposition, anti-government TV network FM. And I can assure you that all six moderators are still in place. Last time, after the change of government, the station had to be scrambling looking for moderators because they would have ascended in lofty positions right across the society here in Barbados and abroad. But all moderators are still in place, and that is good to know. Now, lots of issues on the table. It is Friday. Will it be fun Friday? Will it be friendly Friday? Or will it be fiery Friday? That is up to you. We go straight to the lines, and we find out what are the issues of the day for you, the callers. Good morning, and welcome. Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Lane. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Not bad.
Mr. Opening Batsman, no.
Yes.
Full-time. Now you full-time position. Full-time. Talk to me.
Yeah, you know, I like to listen to you because you're a youngster and you're very enthusiastic. And I like the way you approach the thing. You bring a breath of fresh air as a young fella. And you're very enthusiastic about what you're doing. And I hope that in times to come that I can hope and pray that I'll be around to see the rewards of your work. But you know, the first thing, though, there's a gentleman who calls in here. He always likes to, when he does, but crack the private part, he likes to have these conversations. When he calls today, if he do call today, I would like to ask him, let's have a conversation. Why did they bring back Mr. Edgett at the NSC? Mm-hmm. Also, these are things that I train up. To Mark Williams, Mr. Mark Williams. I thought Mr. Mark Williams will be got a post like the director of the National Housing Corporation or something like that. I was a bit disappointed in seeing the appointees. Mark Willis' name was not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But why? Because I like that you open up with this, because I think that the day of putting square pegs in round holes must come to an end.
I agree, the day
of that should have been gone a long time ago.
That's right.
But we must match the skills of persons with the positions that we're putting them in. Now, can you tell me anything that you would have seen Mark Williams or anybody that you would have mentioned before, placed in any position? What has Mark Williams said or done that will give you the impression that he would be the best general manager of the NHC at this time?
I think he has a lot of ideas. I think he knows how to get things done. Although I obviously not agree with his method of getting things done. But I think being a member, outstanding member of the Barbados Labour Party, at least there should be some awards. I always say that if you belong to a political party, not like you or somebody who will vote for a party, you spend a lot of time devoted to that party, you should be awarded. I am one of those people. I don't disagree with that, really. But I am only trying that out.
But my skills or my knowledge of Mark, we can use Mark because he's a public figure. He works doing a program, looking back, and we all know Mark. We know Mark as a promoter, working with entertainment, understanding culture, working in the community. And the last post that I knew that he had would have been in the community Independent Celebration Secretariat, working or working on some community project. And I thought that that matched his skills. I see nothing that would demonstrate to me that he would have either a desire, a willingness, or even an ability to run a corporation like the National Housing Corporation, unless there are things that I don't know. No, I don't want to integrate his, I don't want to kind of like pick down what he is able to do in the public domain or his CV or whatever. But what I would like to do is for us to have that national conversation in terms of why we put people here or there.
That's right.
The one you mentioned earlier in terms of the people who would have returned to national housing, I would like to put two spins on that, and hopefully somebody can pick me up during the program in terms of which side they would like to look at. Because one side we can look at is the fact that they would have been there already. Therefore, they would be familiar. Therefore, they would have some experience. The flip side of that, obvious, is that I believe we need new thinking in a new era and a new way of doing things. So why bring warmed over soup to a situation? And then there would have been a myriad of problems before, during, and after with that entity called the NHC. So what really is the best position of lining up persons to manage the NHC in a way that we as Barbadians, we as taxpayers, can feel very proud about? So I'm glad about that issue that you raised, that we can have a discussion on that.
Another thing too, Mr. Lynn, this is a fast moving pace society now. It's no time to stall out. And up to 2 days ago, a gentleman who just retired from work bought a phone, a smartphone, and he didn't know much about it, so he asked his daughter to come and show him something. The girl came in, two swipes, had it finished off. You know, up to now, he called me and told me he didn't understand what she was doing. I told him that next time she should do it, to let her write it down, and that he could go through it step by step. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because this is a fast pace, and things are moving rapidly. So therefore, what Mr. Agile and Dr. Richard Chandler will have come now is to bring, not outdated, but it's a new way of thinking. This is a technology-driven age. So we have to move with the tide, and like I would have pressed the marks with Joe Ezel, and also there were others that were brought back. Because if they do that, and let's assume that the Democrats have already won the next election, then the DLP could bring back Mr. Short. So you understand what I'm saying?
You know, I was going along with you and your games, I think, but you totally ridiculous. Were you ready at all?
No, no games. Before I go, though, I met a friend who I won't call her name. She taught you at school. She told me that you were a very energetic youngster at school, especially when you were a second to perform at law school.
Thank you, Carla. Have a wonderful day here. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Corey Mark.
Hey, morning. Funny enough, we just call your name.
Yeah, but
I don't know if you know that.
That's why I'm calling, because something came across. I don't think I am hearing it correct. When the caller made a reference, you refer to putting square pegs in one hole. So people are of the opinion that that is a comment that is not justified. I myself believe that you didn't do that purposely.
No, why y'all hear these things? And y'all need to listen and tilt your head a bit. What I'm saying is the day of putting square pegs in one hole, generally speaking, is of the issue. So they're glad he raised the issue of why we brought back this body, why we didn't put that body, because in all the positions across the board, we need to put some square pegs in some square holes and some round pegs in some round holes. Very simple. It had nothing at all, like 0.00% to do with the fact that he mentioned your name, because you know the context in which he mentioned your name. He was just trying to be mischievous, and he was being mischievous along with him.
You allow him to allow you to make a comment that even though it's not intentional, but somewhere along the line, there can be a leaf that it was intentional from you. I know you're not intentional as far as that's concerned. The whole effort here is, Corey, that I need to put this record straight, right? And I need to put it straight that I can be a square peg in a round hole.
Mm-hmm.
But on a scale of 1 to 50, I'm a round peg in a round hole.
Correct.
I've proven beyond all shadow of a doubt that my country comes first.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that people of this country mean more to me than self. So putting me in a position that I have to deal with people makes it more comfortable for me than to have to deal with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let me ask you this. So let me ask you this, so we could put this thing in some more context, right? Would you want to go and be general manager of the NYC? Do you see that as your forte?
No. I'm saying, putting me in a position, whether it is a guard, whether it is at least a casual worker, whether it's a general manager, as long as it's a case of helping people and to be there and guided by other people, yes, I am capable. The people are capable of doing things because of the force behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that some people in this country are given positions, and I'm going to be frank. Some people are given positions in this country. Very true or fact, they don't have an idea and they don't know how to deal with people.
Mark, listen to me, right? You are my friend, right? And I will not put you at any. See, I will not do that to you. You what? Understand? Listen, somebody's not reading it here. Mark Williams was known to be the best advertising salesman in Barbados. He's also retired. People are now sending your credentials to me.
No, they're trying to.
Let me put it that way then.
I always say that people try to say what they know when they don't know. And I think you know me personally, Corey. You know that I've used the words that I want to establish. I am a people's person.
Correct.
Credentials mean nothing to me. There are people in this country who own diplomas and thesis in that and thesis in the next thing. And they're most on money.
And more degrees. Than an oven on, but let me tell you this, right? I am being serious about this. I don't want to make this program about you, because brass has about community and national issues, right?
I want to
use you as an example of a bigger point, and the bigger point is this: as we go around and we begin to fill a whole set of positions, all I am saying is that we need to line up the skills and passions and ability of our citizens with the positions that we are placing them in. It cannot be about who is a party faithful, who we like, who sounds nice, who dresses nice, but who can get the job done. And that is really the point that I am making this morning.
And I agree with you. All that I'm calling is to clarify and to put in the minds of the people that you know me so well that I cannot be a square peg in a round hole. I think having been associated with you for many, many years, that you know the person you're talking to, so those persons...
No, if that came across that way, that was definitely not intended. You I will see you as a flexi peg, so you could fit in any hole. You're a rubber peg.
I'm putting my cards on the table, right? And it's not about me, but I'm putting my cards on the table. Corey, I believe that function at a community level. Functioning at a community level, whether it be culture, I'm going to be fair, culture or whatever, maybe I am at home. In the area of promotion, in the area of advertising, I'm also at home. But I don't want to say that I can do any and everybody's job. I don't want to commit myself to that. I'm not that type of person, because I've not reached the age of assisting more so than working, but I'm still able to work.
Correct. And
I'm
agree.
Still able to work.
I agree.
And God bless you for the clarification, but let people know, I do not take things for the sake of taking things. I analyze, because if I cannot provide, then it means I'm disappointing others.
And let them know that you are not some that keep a lot of noise and try to sing for the supper, only keeping noise to get a little pit here or there. You are not of that class. You are of a class with me.
Since 1973, I have been focused, and before that, between 66 and 61, I have been focused. I am a Barbadian to heart. I love Barbados, even though they have negative things about me. It don't move me. Those who have positive things about me, I can say to them, keep on, because one person I have to worry about, and God knows that. You understand how I put it?
Yes, please. 15 minutes after 10, Mark, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we continue this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Stats. And you're on with the Friday edition of Down to Brass Stats. Go back to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, I'm calling about transport.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically transporting enough for the island at night.
Right, go ahead and tell us about it.
Okay, we all know transport, but I have problems and issues right now. And I'm just calling out all the public circles, vehicles that have permits to work in the north. They don't need all of them to work, but at least one or two can stay back and work all night. So you can get the people that finish a hard day's work to get home on time.
I actually Corner, got
Corner Town, Jersey Hill. I'm talking about North Road.
Listen, I got a message from a driver this morning. He said to me, sometimes, the other day I saw him. He said, you know, sometimes he's all trying to get through to our departments to get information and so on. He said, look, give me your number and I'll send you information. Now, obviously, I can't verify the information, but I still think it's useful to get this information from within because this is someone I met personally. And he sent me this morning about 8:30. He said, good morning. This place we call Transport Board is getting worse every day. I came to work this morning to 28 buses, and 8 are small buses, and the other 20 are big buses. How can that service the country? Now, when he told me 28, I said that this number sound, this don't sound right, because the last count I heard we had 60 buses. I saw one burning down Spitestown side, so it's a 59. I see a battery drop out of one day in Warren, so it's a 58. How we get from 58 to 28? But then we have to be getting information through a leaking pipe as opposed to the head of the stream. And these are things we should be able to get a report on. So
okay,
then when you call...
So I know like they have ZRs and they have minivans that don't work enough at all. At least somebody or one or two could stay back. Just about how they have a city circle bus, you could call it the St. Lucie Circle. And pay the people. There's a guy that do it here once, sell him out so he will get report. But there's a guy that come up sometimes and he take us home, but not every night that he's working. But he know the situation. And when he comes out, he's got his St. Lucie Circle. That's a guy, Point Corner, Corner Town, Jersey Hill. He's
still
all of us.
You see, the
last night we were there like a go well. And what they do, they send a bus from the bus terminal. That was like after 10. That is a bus that come out. It goes to the roundabout. It turns around. And then they put on a play corner sign and come back and still comes up. That's what happened last night. And people were there for a while.
For a while now, the North has been experiencing some serious transport difficulties in relation to you. As you say, both Transport Board and with the ZRs and so on, right? Now, what we have now is we have actually all of the constituencies out there are now represented in Parliament. I guess it is who squeaks the most will get the most oil. As I say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I think that a lot of representation will be made.
All of we got to get service. Everybody work for the government. Everybody behind the government. So
correct. And I believe that each of them will go forward and try to represent as much as possible, because winning a constituency is one thing. Representing a constituency is another. And retaining... I get that retaining the constituency will be the next thing. And I believe that each of them will want to retain, and therefore they will do their utmost to ensure that the transportation problems are rectified. Now, one of the things that I believe will bring remedy to this is not just in terms of representation, but the fact that the government has as one of its mission critical the attaining of new buses. Or
okay,
even
but
second-hand
buses get here, the minivans and the ZRs to come out and work.
Right, I agree with that. And that would take some negotiation. And if the government of the day is worth their salt,
but
I think...
But they got a contract, they got a permit to work where everybody's going home at 7 o'clock. Somebody can stand back and work 9, 10, 11.
That way you say negotiation is that, because remember, the ZRs are run by private. And private is motivated by profit. The public may more be motivated
but
by the
niche market there for somebody to stand by.
But that may be your experience. But they may look at it as businessmen and businesswomen and say, listen, this may not be profitable, number one. B, this may be a security risk. And therefore, they may make a calculated decision that after 7 is not as profitable. Therefore, I'll put down my bus. And because of the danger, you know, when night falls, the criminal element seems to rise. So therefore, they may be making a calculated decision on whether you think there's a market there or not. I'm not going to put my driver and conductor in harm's way. And B, it is not as active as drive time and rush hour. Therefore, I will not put my bus on the road.
Okay, I just wanted to get that off of my chest. But there's a niche market there. I'm like coming down the road. Enough females on the road trying to get home.
Okay. I hope they heard your call and they can make another calculated decision to at least have a couple out there so that y'all can get home. 25 after 10. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning to you.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Now, I want to deal with agriculture and water this morning.
All righty.
Good. You remember, I guess you did biology at school, right?
Yes, I did.
You remember the isms, geotropism?
Oh, no, I did biology, but I didn't.
Phototropism?
I never said I pay attention. You see, when the guy talk very active, he made hard ears, but he just didn't want to say it, right? I didn't pay attention.
All right, geotropism with the soil, hydro, water, water, light. But you will know that. When a plant runs short of those things, it gives different formation, right? All right. Now, there's a rumor around this. I call it no more than a rumor. That Barbados is a water shortage country. Now, let me ask you a question. How would you know a country has a water shortage or suffer with a water shortage?
I think the way they measure it is the use of water per person and per capita. And I actually did a little research on that, and there are 16 countries that are number one. So the one after the 16 is like number 17. So there are 17 number ones, and Barbados just happened to be one of them. When they look at the measurement that they use, they don't necessarily agree that Barbados is a water scarce country, though, because I operate from the Brucefield area. And
that's right,
we have water running into Long Pond and into East Coast 365 days a year.
Let me go a little further.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know a place where is a desert? What is a desert?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get plants growing that sort of there on a desert because you don't have the water supply.
Well, we get some cactus and cacti and different things
right,
like that. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And succulents and different things.
Now, we're going right into this thing. God, this is an agricultural discussion. When you look in Barbados, the greenery tells you something, right?
Because
you could tell when a plant is suffering from water. There's no other place in Barbados that when, especially when you drive in tourists, they talk about the beauty, the greenery of a country. It tells you that the plants are getting water. Now, I can bring you right back, because when I hear people talk about scientists and all these sort of people, and you said you operate from Bruceville.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, when I started to grow up around a plantation, and this is where what bothers me when I hear scientists telling you this and scientists telling you that. I learned at school, very early in first form, then agriculture was being taught that you must have hedgerow grass to retain the top soil. That when the rain falls, it will not be able to take the soil into the road, into the water, into the sea. When you go around and you travel to Bruceville, and you see the lands that are being plowed right up to the end of the road, no hedgerow grass. And then when the rain falls, you look into the sea, you will see the sea brown at its entrance because that is.
And not only that, you see a lot of the greenery and stuff in the road. You have a lot of soil in the road when you have rain, and you also have the grass growing over into the road, making some roads one way. But my question would be, how did we get there, and how do we get from there? How did we get there? Because farming and farming techniques is always something that's passed on in a practical manner. You have the older farmers, you have the rest or the apprentice coming up with him, and they learn the techniques, and you go on and go on. How did we get from a situation where you had the cuscus grass, the hedgerow, and everything where it needed to be, to a situation now where anything goes? But the bigger point and the bigger question would be, how do we get from there? I think we'll have to retrain in the techniques of how to farm and how to farm properly.
Good. You're going right down the road. Mm-hmm. Now, I can give you my experience growing up as a boy. It is only now that whenever a long vacation come around, that some mother then used to cry for a little boy who happened to went fishing around a tank and drop into the tank and lost his life. You remember them days?
No, I don't.
You know, well, the older people would tell you about that. your mother would tell you, don't go down by this plantation.
Mm-hmm. Because well, you hear about the wells in the plantation. I still see them and they're uncovered. I see them from time to time.
Good.
In the early years, they actually had an animal drop in one. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the wells, we're talking about the tank. Mm-hmm. Big tank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those plantations and factories, as I had to tell Mr. Price yesterday, those people who set up sugar factories, they set up sugar factories willy-nilly. We had over 20 odd sugar factories in Barbados. And the system, Corey, used to be run by steam engines, which requires water and a great quantity of water. Those wells were being pumped at the time by windmill, and then they had mechanical pumping. Why it is that with less sugar factories and all of these wells that are being capped or not capped could not be used by water authority. But we continue to talk about the cell plant. I grew up around a plantation near Andrews, and I could recall the technique, seeing what went on. They used to keep mules in those days. We would go down by the mule pen and look at some. You know what a mule looked like?
Yes, please.
Yeah, a very big animal that used to draw, uses mule cart and such like. And the plantation had a big tank that they used to catch the water coming from what you call the mule pen and then run it into the manger. Those people had a technique, and going right back to the Andrews factory system, where they used to pump the water into a tank during the hard season. And when it is overflow, the manager used to run it into, he used to call it a swamp, where he used to shoot birds. Every sugar factory that was placed in this island had to have a water tank to supply the amount of water that steamed the engines. How come that all of a sudden, the less sugar factories, these wells are not being used, and water authority keep putting pressure on the taxpayer of this country, increasing water rates to put down desal plants, and would not do research and find out where these wells are being kept on these sugar factories? We should not be paying water rates for no desal plant where there's so much water here. That is why we want to discuss it. I want to discuss it in detail. Mm-hmm. Down by you, by Bruce, where was a sugar factory?
Mm-hmm.
Look and see if you look up by tree houses, there's a stream running up there. Mm-hmm. Above that is
river. And they have some fairly large concrete tanks. They can actually save water, and by recirculating the water, you actually save a lot of the water. One of the things we're looking at going into by the end of this year into next year is a lot of aquaponics, because what it actually does is it actually uses 10% less water to actually wet your crops, because the water is constantly being recirculated. So you lose some by evaporation, but it doesn't go through the soil and go through the all that process that goes through. But look, this thing I'm seeing says water scarce.
I can finish on this, Corey. The majority of lands in Barbados were being planted by sugarcane. Ever see anybody sprinkling water to grow sugarcane?
Exactly. One second. We have someone who wants to join in with you. Good morning. Are you there, caller? Number two?
Hey, morning.
Hi, morning. Corey. Yes, please.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Good. I not too bad. And morning to the caller. Mm. I want to engage him on this thing, right? Mm. I heard him yesterday about the part that Barbados is not a water scarce country, right? Mm. No, he's going on with the sugar factory and all of that. But first of all, where does the water come from initially?
Which is obvious.
Hold on, caller. That's one. And two, are we getting the amount of rainfall that we did back then?
All right, let me answer that. Of course.
No, I can tell you.
Okay, we can all sing together, but remember, we cannot all talk together. So, caller number two, let's give caller number one it's a little opportunity to respond, and then you go back in again.
So you want me to?
Yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead. You will respond to the two questions he put to you.
It said. That trees attract rainfall, right or wrong? How's he call it that? If trees don't attract rainfall.
I believe he can't hear you.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I asked your question. Why you answer? If trees attract rainfall.
I don't understand the question.
It's said that trees attract rivers. That is what I learned at school.
I didn't learn that, though, but go ahead.
But I'm telling you that with the amount of trees, forestry attract rainfall. And then you telling me that there's the water supply. I could tell you about standpipes, that when the pipe is closed off, you still could go to that pipe and get water. So don't
but
tell me that there's
no question. But you're not answering my question. I'm asking
go
if
ahead,
we get
go
the
ahead.
Same amount of rainfall. Are we getting the same amount of rainfall now that we had back then in the days we were talking about?
I mean, if you get the same amount of rainfall, we have more catchment area and we have
Corey,
rainfall.
Corey, yes, please.
Corey, okay. I want you to help me. Mm-hmm. In terms of the millimeter of rainfall that we get during the year, if we compare now, right, to back then, are we getting the same amount of rainfall?
We had a dip over the last couple of years. Let me come in here. I had all of that research when we had the water outages out in St. Joseph and St. Andrew and so on. But we had a dip over the last year. We had an increase. I think it was either year before or last year. But let me bring this down to scientific and then we bring it down to realistic. I too said I don't believe that we are necessarily water scarce. And I'll tell you why. When you look at the scientific definition for water scarce, it talks about less than 1,000 meters cube per person per year. Barbados has about 306. So that is way below the standard. And so therefore we will be considered scientifically water scarce. My question is that 306 include a lot of the runoff? And why I talk about runoff is because in terms of the prediction of rainfall into the next decade, they say we'll be getting a lot of heavier but shorter rainfall, therefore we get a lot more runoff. And where runoff goes necessarily into the ocean. Now, the ocean already carries, I can't remember the figure exact, but a very high percent, almost 90% of the water on the earth already. So once it goes there, it's of no use. So when we look at those things, then we use those definitions. Then we can ask ourselves, can we do something to actually put a lot of the runoff into the ocean into use? Will that bring up the 306 anywhere to the 1,000?
Corey,
mm-hmm.
You are so correct. Now, I made mention of this already. He asked about rainfall then, and you are talking about catching the water or storing that water. With the amount of housing development in Barbados, which were, I would consider, agricultural land that is taken up. When the rainfall, that water used to go directly into the land because there were no that amount of houses built on the land. When the rainfall now, instead of the water going into the land, the water is falling on concrete, finding it way through on concrete road and such like, and running right into the ocean. It is not being caught into the land as before. So what that caller should recognize is any development that is being built, you should source the water from the houses to go directly into a well, back into the land. That is the problem that we are getting.
But you see, arguments like these will go on forever because both of you are right. Because if you get less precipitation and you get less rainfall, then there you have the problem. So you one will be saying is less rainfall and one will be saying is less precipitation. But both of you gentlemen are correct. 22 minutes before 11 o'clock. This is the Friday edition of Don't Brass That.